This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to talk about the critical role journalism has played during the pandemic and continues to play. A couple of facts. 164 million people in the U.S. have been fully vaccinated. That is almost half of the population. 58% have received at least one dose. If you get the first shot of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, it is so important to get the second dose for optimal protection against COVID, especially the highly contagious Delta variant. That accounted for 93% of all cases in the United States in the last 2 weeks of July. Now, those who've been vaccinated can still get COVID, but hospitalization is highly unlikely, according to the recent data. More than 90% of hospitalized COVID patients are not vaccinated. Joining us to talk about all of this is Amy Maxman, an award-winning science writer and senior reporter at Nature. Amy Maxman covers the entanglements of evolution, medicine, science, policy, and the people behind research. Amy just won the 2021 Victor Cohn Prize for Excellence in Medical Science Reporting. She was cited for rigorous, humane reporting that revealed the unequal toll of the pandemic by centering the voices and experiences of underserved communities. Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for joining us and congratulations on your prize.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, great to have you. I think this fact is still so important to repeat, that those who've been vaccinated can still get COVID, but hospitalization is highly unlikely. According to the latest data, more than 90% of hospitalized COVID patients are not vaccinated. This is often buried in a lot of stories. Can you talk about this?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you're highlighting it. I think, you know, when we just look at anecdotes, it can be really scary, or, you know, there's a temptation, I think, for some headlines to say things like, you know, 400 people who were vaccinated are in the hospital. But, you know, if you look at the portions of things, the proportions, it shows that time and time again, the vaccines are highly effective. They're more than 90% effective against preventing hospitalization or death. So I think there's a real lure for sort of the clickbaity headline of, you know, oh my gosh, the vaccines are no longer working. But to be clear, they're definitely still working.
Right. And so, so important. And the good news is that more and more people are now getting vaccinated, probably related to a lot of the cases that we're seeing of people videotaping themselves from their hospital beds saying, I regret that I did not get the vaccine.
Yeah, I personally am curious to see if that has had an impact in people changing their mind. I think people don't get vaccinated for a number of reasons. Like, according to polls, some people are worried about, you know, side effects, or they have some feeling that getting COVID isn't as bad as getting the vaccine, which I should say is definitely not true. The chances of getting COVID versus getting a side effect are vastly different. And, you know, other people have, you know, various ideas for why they're not getting it, down to this idea of microchips or whatever. So people have different feelings for why they don't get it. But yeah, I wonder if a proportion are, like you said, listening to these testimonials from people in the hospital and changing their mind.
It's been devastating just seeing people who are videotaping themselves and going public. It feels like more and more are coming out on a daily basis. What do you think of the effectiveness of those messages?
I agree. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know many people personally who are refusing the vaccine. I know of people, you know, like friends, family members. But I don't know, and because I'm not a doctor, I guess I'm not the best person to answer that question. I don't know if that's what's changing people's minds. It is really hard to watch those. I feel bad. People are misled, and it makes me feel bad to see them suffering for it.
What do you think about all of the media attention on people who are not getting vaccinated, especially the sort of anti-vax? I don't know if to call it a movement or what, but what about the focus on the anti-vax crowds?
I mean, yeah, the people who are strongly anti-vax, and particularly the people who are leading that movement, you might have heard of, you know, he calls himself Dr. Mercola, but his credentials aren't very sure, so we'll call him Mr. Mercola. I mean, he's somebody who's been promoting kind of vitamins and naturopathic solutions for a long time and kind of fueling a lot of conspiracies, but he makes a lot of money off of this sort of thing. So those are, that's disinformation, as in it's intentionally misleading. And there's money to be made off of that. So those people absolutely should be targeted and called out, because they're feeding off of people's real concerns and mistrust, you know, that does come from somewhere. So those people should be called out. Myself personally, I feel like, you know, if you know somebody that's afraid of getting vaccinated, clearly calling them a name isn't going to help. I mean, I don't know the last time that's ever helped change anybody's mind. I don't like people being condescending to me. So I think, you know, the best thing to do is sort of lay out, you know, the ideas that mRNA technology has been developed for over a decade, that these trials were able to move quickly because so many people had COVID. So the chances of people, you know, getting COVID in the control group were pretty high because COVID was so big. So just sort of laying out, you know, allaying concerns like these vaccines were developed too quickly, I think is maybe a better way to go about it. I heard that the FDA is supposed to approve right now. The vaccines are all authorized, but they hadn't been approved. I mean, typically this process takes a very long time, but I heard the FDA set a deadline of Labor Day, September 6th, to approve them. And I'm hoping that goes a long way to allaying other people's concerns about them not being fully approved by the FDA yet.
What are your overall thoughts about where we are right now with media coverage? Because there's just so much information coming at very high speeds. And then you have different policies depending in some cases on what town you're in. And then the media tend to sometimes quote average people who are just spewing misinformation. You know, in many cases, they're doing that to let us know that they're out there. I'm not sure how effective that is, but there's just so much information coming so quickly at people. So what are your thoughts about where we are now when it comes to media coverage of this pandemic?
Yeah, I feel bad for the public. It is really confusing. And I think, you know, we really saw that the last couple of weeks. I mean, we've got some new things to be worried about. It's clear that Delta is very prevalent. It's clear that people who are vaccinated can be infected. And I personally know people who are fully vaccinated who are infected. They can get the Delta variant. They can, at least for some short period of time, have high levels of the virus. We don't know if that means they're transmitting a lot. We also know that sometimes you get infected with you'll get a high level, but then the antibodies are going to help your immune system generate a response that makes that virus go down quickly. I'm sorry, I'm getting into the nuances, but this is where I'm just saying, I think the headlines can be misleading and really scary. And suddenly, you know, I think a lot of people are feeling like, oh my gosh, the vaccines don't even work anymore. Now we've got Delta. It's, you know, everything's a mess. And I don't think we're there yet, but I can see how there can be so much confusion around all of this. And it's like a little bit true and a little bit not true.
There's also confusion about, gosh, whether or not people with the J&J should get the Moderna or Pfizer shot. We just got information in San Francisco about that a couple of days ago. There's a lot of talk right now about boosters. But as you wrote in one of your recent pieces, people say that vaccine doses should go to low and middle income countries where most citizens have no protection at all, still to this day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of algorithm when we kind of weigh cost and benefits. So on the benefit side of boosters, there's really no strong evidence saying that boosters are needed. I'll add the slight caveat that, you know, there's the vaccines from China, Sinopharm and Sinovac. We don't use them here. So in other countries, there's some thought if people had those, maybe they're significantly less efficacious against variants. But let's put that aside because we don't have those here. But for J&J, AstraZeneca, which also we don't have here, but still, so far there's really no strong evidence that we need boosters. There has been signs that, you know, antibody levels decline over time, but that's true of all vaccines. When you're not presented with a virus or a challenge like from a vaccine, antibody levels will go down, but you've got the memory there. You have immune cells that will rapidly then generate antibodies should you be infected. So it's not unusual to see antibody levels going down over time. We don't yet know if that means that efficacy is also going down. There's some early data suggesting that, you know, efficacy drops to 84% 6 months after the Pfizer vaccines. But that's efficacy one against symptomatic COVID. But it still means that somebody, even a worst case scenario, it's a preprint, it's not peer reviewed, and it's from Pfizer. So even if that's true, it means that somebody who is vaccinated is 84% less likely to be infected when exposed to high levels of the virus than someone who is unvaccinated. So again, benefits of a vaccine, of a booster, unclear. And then the cost, what is the cost? And I'll tell you, the cost is that right now we don't have enough supply. That's just, you know, it's scarce. The vaccines are scarce. Most of them have gone to something like 10 high-income countries. So middle-income countries and low and low and middle-income countries have very few, you know, less than 30%. Low-income countries has less than 2% of their populations vaccinated. And knowing that there's a scarcity and knowing that right now at current rates, low-income countries won't even have decent protection, say 40% of the population vaccinated, way through 2023. So what we can expect is continuing waves of COVID surges in these places. And that's going to kill a lot of people. That's going to decimate the health systems because health workers are at high risk. The economy will be really hurt. We know without vaccines, we have to do these terrible lockdown measures like closing businesses and shutting down schools that have long-term repercussions. And you're going to get the generation of new variants. The more the virus replicates, the more variants we're going to have. And that's actually a huge biosecurity threat. So if rich countries go ahead and say, let's just keep on giving, you know, the people who want boosters more boosters instead of getting first doses elsewhere, that means we're going to be in this continuous cycle. One of the researchers I talked to said, it's like chasing your own tail. We're going to be in this continuous cycle of this pandemic for the foreseeable future. So it's just a bad strategy right now, unless there's clear data showing that, you know, it's absolutely necessary.
These are such important points. As you write, 3.5 billion people around the globe have not received their first dose.
Yeah, and I should say that 3.5 billion, that's actually just in low and lower middle income countries.
Today, we are joined by Amy Maxman, an award-winning science writer and senior reporter at Nature. We're talking about the critical role journalists are playing during the pandemic. If you have any questions or comments for Amy, any insights or thoughts about media coverage of COVID and this Delta variant, is it confusing? Is it straightforward? Where are you going to get your information? We are going to have a doctor on soon to take basic questions about what you should or should not do. But right now, if you have any comments about media coverage, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. What are your thoughts about CDC messaging? They changed their guidance to recommend that everyone, regardless of vaccination status, wear masks in hot spots. So what are your thoughts about the CDC's messaging and how that's been reported?
Yeah, okay. Well, I am very happy they changed their guidance. I think it makes complete sense that everyone should just wear masks in public places. There's a number of reasons to just do that. We're social animals, you know. We follow what each other do. And if more people are wearing masks, that's going to protect all of us. We're in this together. So I'm very glad they changed that guidance. As a journalist, I'm, you know, frankly disappointed in their messaging. I think their decision a couple of months ago to say that only vaccinated people should unmask and unvaccinated should wear masks, I think that was a decision that, you know, almost all of the public, I think all of the public health and infectious disease people I knew really sort of disagreed with. That goes against, you know, what we know about even human behavior. And what was upsetting was the CDC didn't really explain why they decided to make that decision. I think that led to a lot of confusion. And similarly, you know, when they've changed it again, they didn't really explain, you know, what really caused the change. They said, now we have Delta and rates are going up, but, you know, that could have been predicted. We had Delta when they made their original decision. So I guess I'm disappointed with their messaging. I think I understand that science changes, and it does as we acquire new knowledge. But I don't think they're doing a very good job of explaining their decisions and even making decisions that, you know, especially if they're going to be making decisions that people disagree with.
Well, and then you have doctors going on the cable shows and broadcast media, you know, either supporting the CDC or disagreeing with the CDC, which then further adds to confusion. Amy, you are, are trained as a scientist. How has that really prepared you for covering this pandemic?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, what's funny is I studied evolutionary biology, which had always seemed sort of like, you know, a little bit obscure, not the most sort of like hands-on, you know, it's not medical science. I was actually studying sea spiders, but I was doing a lot of the same techniques as in sequencing genes and cloning genes. So I understand sort of the processes that scientists use. I understand how they know what they know. And with evolutionary biology, that's what we're seeing right now with the evolution of new variants. This is a 101 crash course in evolutionary biology. So I think it really did sort of prepare me to think about how the virus might be sort of changing over time.
What else do you want people to know? You know, rather than spending our last 5 minutes criticizing media and adding even more confusion to all of this, I don't even think that helps. At this point, what information do you want people to have as we're seeing, sadly, the cases go up, hospitalizations go up? What information is most crucial right now?
You know, get vaccinated, and I wear masks inside. It's a small price to pay for, you know, also for just sort of hoping that this goes away quicker. I more than maybe many people would like COVID to go away. I'd like to cover other things again. That's really a petty concern, super petty concern. But right, I'd like to see COVID go away, and it's going to go away quickest if we take multiple measures like wearing masks in public places. I don't wear masks outside. I feel comfortable there, but wearing masks in public places inside, getting vaccinated. And you know what? Maybe a show of solidarity. It's a hard time for all of us, you know, trying to be kind to our fellow humans would be nice too.
Can I just ask you, if you are going to a venue outdoors where a lot of people are in attendance, if there is a vaccine requirement, because a number of places now, at least in the Bay Area, are requiring that, are you still wearing a mask outside if you're around a lot of people?
I don't really wear masks outside unless it's a very crowded situation. Then I might just sort of avoid the whole situation. But I'll tell you, I went to the Alameda flea market recently. That's in our area. And I didn't wear a mask when I was in a situation where there wasn't tons of people around. It's outdoors. If there's, you know, outdoors, ventilation means a lot. And when I say outdoors, you know, even if I'm going to a place with, if it's outdoor seating and there's, you know, not like, if there's four walls around it and it's, you know, with a roof, that's not really outdoors that much anymore. But yes, if it's fully outdoors, I feel pretty comfortable. And especially if everybody's vaccinated, I feel pretty good. I still personally don't really want to be in really tight crowds, but I don't know if I ever really did. So take that as you will.
Yeah, you know, another question before we end. At this point, you've got so many different headlines happening, fights in Florida between Governor DeSantis and school districts and parents. I was just reading CNN reports that Representative Ralph Norman tested positive for COVID. He's a South Carolina Republican who sued Speaker Pelosi over being fined for not wearing a mask on the floor of the House. These stories are just going to continue coming in. But at the end of the day, what role do you think journalists need to play to just give people basic information and information about the importance of getting vaccinated?
I think that, stay on the message of that's what's important. I feel like journalists also, though, aren't just science communicators. I think we should be calling out leaders who are leading people in a direction that will put them in harm's way. I also myself want to sort of congratulate leaders that decide to sort of about face. You know, we have the Arkansas governor now who's saying, you know what, let's do away with my idea of not allowing. You know, he's trying to flip his idea. But first he said schools shouldn't be able to mandate masks, but now he says they should be able to. good. I'm glad. And I'm okay with that. So I feel like it's okay to say DeSantis is putting his people in harm's way right now. And I feel like it's important to call that out.
Given all of the uneven policies we have around the country, where do you see the virus going in the coming months?
This is a hard question. It's just so hard to answer. Right now, if vaccination rates go up, it's positive to see that there are going to be mandates, especially for places like hospitals. I'm really heartened to see that, or in nursing homes. I'm glad for in workplaces too. I hope it's also matched with communication so that people who are truly afraid to get the vaccine, you know, aren't just forced to do it, but can also have a place to ask all the questions that they're worried about. So I guess I can, you know, you have to remain optimistic if you're going to do this business, maybe. I think I have to remain a little bit optimistic that people will start to get vaccinated and make wise decisions. I know that doesn't happen often, but I don't know how else to continue.
To your point, California became the first state in the nation to mandate vaccinations for healthcare workers. This is really interesting because I went to the doctor yesterday and the doctor recommended some massage from, you know, sitting during COVID. And I said, is it possible to find out if one of your massage therapists has been vaccinated? And she said, we can't ask and we're not going to mandate until September, which I thought was really interesting.
Wow. I didn't know that. It's strange to say you can't ask. I know that one doctor recommended that I ask, you know, if, or, you know, people ask if they have to go to the doctor or the hospital to ask, is your nurse vaccinated? So I didn't know that was not allowed. I don't see why that's not allowed. And I guess I'd push back.
They said it was a HIPAA privacy issue.
You know, I don't know if it is. I'm not sure. There was an article in the New York Times that sort of pushed back on this idea of people saying it's a HIPAA privacy issue. I think it's completely within your rights to ask. I guess if somebody doesn't want to share, they don't want to share, but I don't know how that's HIPAA.
Amy, we're going to have you on again to talk about the incredible piece you wrote about farm workers. But I wonder, what are you working on right now? What are some of the questions you hope to answer in the coming weeks?
So I'm actually working on a piece that's about, there's a lot of manufacturers, particularly in India, there's a lot of manufacturers who are ready to make the vaccine, who are actually making vaccines from Russia because Russia broadly licensed their vaccine, Sputnik. But they want to make vaccines like the J&J vaccine or the mRNA vaccines, but they're unable to get a license to produce it. Now, if they could produce it, we could have more vaccines and we wouldn't have to make these hard decisions about, you know, who deserves to get a shot and who doesn't if we just had more vaccines. So I'm really interested in what it takes to get supplies up and running.
Well, that sounds like a really important story. Amy, thank you so much for your great reporting and congratulations on your recent award.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
Amy Maxman is an award-winning science writer and senior reporter at Nature. She covers the entanglements of evolution, medicine, science policy, and the people behind research. She just won the Victor Cohn Prize for Excellence in Medical Science Reporting, and you can find her piece at yourcallradio.org. And coming up on Monday, we'll be joined by Lucy Walker, who will discuss Bring Your Own Brigade. It's a documentary about why wildfires have become so ferocious. Walker's team was with firefighters in November 2018 as the Camp and Woolsey fires took 88 lives and destroyed thousands of structures in Malibu and Paradise, California. Lucy Walker talks with a number of people about the climate crisis, logging, indigenous communities who manage the environment using prescribed burns, and more. And we hope you can join us for that. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And you can find more resources at yourcallradio.org. And we will be having a doctor on soon to take your basic questions about COVID and the Delta variant. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.